I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop. I love to give the girls a whirl to the music of an old jukebox. But when my money's all gone, I'm on the telephone, hollering, hey, hey, mama, can your daddy come home?
There were plenty of honky-tonk men in Dana Jennings' family, hard-working, hard-drinking men. There were wife-beaters, child-beaters, as he writes, men who created their own solitary confinement, living a gritty existence in Kingston, New Hampshire in the 1950s and 60s. Dana Jennings reaches back to the classic country music of that period, for instance, this Johnny Horton hit, in his new book, Sing Me Back Home, Love, Death, and Country Music. And Dana, you write that songs like Johnny Horton's Honky Tonk Man really tell a secret history of rural working-class Americans in the 20th century.
Because the best singers and songwriters came out of, you know, really hard, poverty-stricken backgrounds, you know, mostly depression backgrounds, they were telling the stories of their lives and the people around them, and those stories really resonated with rural working-class people nationwide, not just in the South, as, you know, a lot of people perceive country music. And we're fortunate that we have this oral history that we can hum along to that's left from the 50s and 60s and into the 70s.
You say that one of those songs, those old good songs, let you become again the person who loved that song and let you enter the lives of the now gone members of your family. You mm-hmm. give an example. Here's Webb Pierce's There Stands the Glass. Let's listen.
There stands the glass that will ease all my pain, that will settle my brain. It's my first one to take.
Danny, you say this song takes you back to your late Uncle Lloyd. Tell us why.
He was one of the many alcoholics in my family. And, you know, when he was a young man and the whiskey and the beer hadn't ruined him yet, you know, he would dress up on a Saturday night and, you know, he'd wear his black Western shirt with the fancy stitches, and he'd wear his black jeans and, you know, pile his hair as high as he could using Brill cream. And even at that age, he understood the booze wasn't any good for him. And when he listened to someone like Webb Pierce, you know, Webb was holding up a mirror to him as, you know, of his life. You know, he'd be looking in the mirror getting ready for Saturday night, and then he'd have the record player on and he'd be listening to Webb Pierce.
Let's talk about the women in your family and country music in their lives. And let's listen to a little of, continuing the theme, Loretta Lynn's Don't Come Home A-Drinkin' With Lovin' On Your Mind.
Well, you thought I'd be waiting up when you came home last night. You'd been out with all the boys and you ended up half tied. But liquor and love, they just don't mix. Leave the bottle or me behind. And don't come home a-drinking with loving on your mind.
It was a male-dominated world. And for the woman I grew up among, to hear someone like Loretta Lynn, who really wasn't that different from who they were. You know, if Loretta hadn't become a country music star, you know, she could be sitting at the kitchen table having a, you know, having a cup of tea with any of them. And to hear her in a really feisty way draw the line in the bedroom at 4 a.m, it was significant for those women. And it told them that they didn't always have to cave in to what their men wanted.
You write that Loretta Lynn might have been a woman sitting in the kitchen having a cup of tea. You write about your mom spending your fourth grade school year basically at home with her while she sat at the kitchen table sipping her tea, staring out the window. What happened?
She got married when she was 17 and had me right away. And I think by the time 1966 rolled around, she was, you know, she's 26 years old. She had 3 children. She didn't have a driver's license. You know, my dad was working a couple of jobs. You know, money was very tight. And I think she was simply overwhelmed. You know, looking back, the reason she kept me home was that she needed someone there to keep her company. It was probably a good thing that I was there in a lot of ways.
Well, one of the ways is that after eating your lunch of Campbell's soup and tuna fish sandwiches, you'd listen to Patsy Cline. And when you put her in that context, you know, she's not a cliche. Yeah, let's listen. little more about that, Dana Jennings. For instance, we hear Patsy Cline there, and, you know, people can think, oh, I have heard that song, but you hear it anew, you know, with a story like your mom's. Or we began by listening to Johnny Cash, I Walk the Line. These are songs that have become such standards that people, you know, they're wallpaper to some people.
Right.
But you hear them with a real ferociousness underneath.
I really felt that no one had listened really, really hard to the music. You know, it had really, you know, to use the academic term, to treat those songs as serious texts. And, you know, I wanted to hear them fresh again. And when I was writing the book, I'd put on one of those songs and I would just, you know, I'd listen to it over and over, you know, scribbling in my notebook as I sat there in my den.
Well, and the title of the resulting book comes from the Merle Haggard song, Sing Me Back Home. It sounds like that's what you're talking about, is that music does take you home.
It reconnects me to the Kingston that doesn't exist anymore. It reconnects me to all of my old relatives who are dead. The songs translate me back to the past. And they also give me something, one, that I can share with my, you still can share with my parents, but also it's been really important to me to share this music with my sons. It provides a really important bridge for them to understand my parents and, you know, and their great-grandparents before that.
Let him sing me back home for the song I used to hear. Make my old memories come alive. Take me away and turn back the years. Sing me back home before I die.
Well, there's only one modern-day song in your book. It's by Iris DeMent, and it's called Mama's Opry. You know, how does it fit in with the songs of the 50s and 60s?
She's one of those singers. The quality I hear in her voice really goes back to the origins of commercial country music. You know, I hear Jimmy Rogers in there, and I hear the Carter family in there. And, you know, I hear the twang in there, like Hank Williams and Loretta Lynn. And this song, Mama's Opry, literally the first seven times I heard the song, it made me cry. And, you know, there's a line in there where she's talking about her mother. She grew up plain and simple in a farming town.
She grew up plain and simple in a farming town. Her daddy played the fiddle and used to do the calling when they had hold down.
That describes my mother. It just always kills me when I hear that song.
Dana Jennings' new book, Sing Me Back Home, Love, Death, and Country Music. Dana, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Well, thanks a lot.
The Carters and Jimmy Rogers played her favorite songs. And on Saturday nights there was a radio show and she would sing along. And I'll never forget her face when she revealed to me that she dreamed about singing at the Grand Old Opry.
Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston. I'm Robin Young. Have a great weekend, and please join us again, Here and Now.
While she was hanging the clothes on the line, I was a kid just humming along.
PRI, Public Radio International.